Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Give the Lord a shout. Are you ready? Shout glory. Praise God. It's truly an honor to be here this evening. I'm sincerely grateful to the Lord for the privilege to be here to share God's word with this excited, spirit-filled congregation. I want to sincerely honor our father, the leader of this clan, his lordship, Right Bishop, former Nedison, and his wife, Mrs. Faith, former Nedison. Come on! Celebrate Jesus for this great servant. Glory to God. I want to honor the Bishop of Lantan Diocese. He's here with his wife, all the venerables, ministers of God that came from far and wide to be part of this service, and of course the ministers and reverends in Jalingo Diocese here in Taraba State of the Anglican Communion. Thank you so much for having me. I believe the Lord will visit us in a mighty way tonight. In the name of Jesus. If you are ready, can you lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Father? Tell him how much you love him. Tell him how excited you are and how ready you are to receive from him. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Lift your hands toward heaven. This is the moment of the Spirit. You see, at a certain time, the Spirit of the Lord went down and troubled the waters. When the angels trouble the waters, it is time for the move of the Spirit, and anything is possible. Go ahead and speak to the Father. Talk to him from your heart. Marahaveko Sabrakida Hadakaya Velalos Navek Parakila Haragano Zandakiba Haya Zegetamondre Kavakale Zagale Paros Avregatana. Aliae. Aliae. Aliyah, 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 you reign, you ancient Zion's King. Adoshado. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King. Adoshado. You are mighty on your throne. Bread forth. O fountains of the deep, cry out, Thanos. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign.
You reign, you reign, Thanos.
Thanos,
Thanos, you are mighty on your throne.
You did not come for a message. You came for an encounter. Because you know this is your season. You know this window is open in the spirit. And you are looking for that energy to ascend. This is your service tonight. You reign, you ancient Zion's King.
Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne.
You reign. Hear this. We don't just minister because we read the Bible. We minister because the word of the Lord comes to us. And if the word of the Lord does not come to you, you have no message for your generation. What we are doing here, we are aligning with the movements of the Spirit. We are not just singing. We are gaining ascension in the Spirit. Because there's a place where the oracles of God are kept for sons of order. And as we sing now, some of you will be summoned because there are warriors about to be ordained. I speak as one sent of God. There is a fire about to fall here now. And even as I speak, let the waters of the Spirit be stirred. By the Holy Ghost, I summon warriors in the Spirit. Ah! Hey, of you here that the anointing of God is about to fall upon. You didn't come for a message. Ushers, this is the first move of the Spirit for this service. Wherever they are, the wind of the Spirit will pick them up now. Please find them for me quickly. By the Spirit of the living God, wherever those ones are, watchers, custodians of dimensions in the Spirit, man of mandate and ordination, in the name of the Lord, I summon you by the Spirit. Come forth. Ushers, help them. Hear this. There's a revival in the Anglican Communion. And a new ordination is activated. People that know the ways of the Spirit. Not by power. Not by might. Not by class or pedigree. But by the ordination of the living God. Wherever you are in this hall. If the hand of God is upon you for the season, I came for you. And so right now, I speak concerning you. Let the waters of God in your spirit, let it be stirred. Let it be stirred. I call forth
and I summon you. Graces, mantles, dimensions, they open to you now. Mateke Barakabayas, Dalakta Veranatori, Zakatina, Manteca Baros Kabaya, Barak. Anta Caparo da Bacate. There is a movement in the spirit. The waters of the spirit are being stirred. Please be sensitive. Ambra Haveka. Zalila Bariana Badakaros. I see a sign in the spirit, and there is an oil flowing. It's the healing anointing, and God is not just healing people, but is ordaining men that will become balms in Gilead, balms, carriers of the balm in Gilead. Ushers, please help them so they are not injured. Wherever you are now, by the spirit, come alive. Receive them to the side. Let's honor the servants of God. From today, every drought in your life is banished.
Amen.
You will no longer be dry. The fire of God comes upon your altar. The flames of revival, they are activated. The flames of revival, they are activated. Those of you in the choir, stretch your hands in my direction. There is a light falling on one of you, and the Lord opens the door for you, because a new season is upon you by the Holy Ghost. Now take that fire. The healing anointing is here, very strong. Please help that man. Mamvra Kavila Kodis. If you couldn't walk, just stand up now and start walking. In the name of Jesus, the affliction is over. I decree now, if you couldn't walk, stand up. If you had a staff, drop it and start walking. If you had a growth in your body, now, in the name of Jesus, it's gone. I command growth to vanish. I decree, ears that couldn't hear, open, eyes that couldn't see, begin to see. In the name of Jesus, I address blood conditions, organ conditions. Right now, be bound, livers, kidneys, be healed in the name of Jesus. I command arthritis pains, be gone, now. Now, in the name of Jesus. Somebody towards my left, your menstrual cycle have just been corrected. You are struggling with the issue of blood.
blood flowing unstoppable.
It has just been corrected.
Check yourself, you discover you have been healed. Somebody with a fibroid growth, as you check now, you discover the pain just left you. All sorts of pains, bone condition, muscular conditions, all forms of pains are being healed right now. Arthritis pain, muscular constrictions, every form of pain, the Lord is touching now. They are being healed. And growths are leaving people's bodies. Everything the devil planted that is not of God, it leaves your body now. It leaves your body now. Somebody close to the camera there, you have just been healed of a heart condition. There's been a heart palpitation creating an excessive pain and unrest. Take that fire by the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. You had a heart condition somewhere here. Please wave at me. You are the one. Come, sir. You have just been healed. Hear this. Around that fan standing there, there's somebody with a blood condition that have just been healed. Your menstrual cycle has been irregular, but God has touched you now, and that flow has stopped. If you are not ashamed, can you wave at me? I pick that frequency. Somebody has just been healed of a menstrual condition. And I hear in my spirit, somebody with a fibroid pain. You check now, you discover that the pain is completely gone. Can you quickly check? Are you the one, sister? Please come. The Lord is touching people. I just heard in my spirit, somebody with a growth on the breast towards my left, check. You will discover the growth is gone. And that pain that comes, that excruciating pain, is gone with that demonic growth. If you have noticed a healing, can you just wave at me? I can't take testimonies now, but if you have noticed the healing, come on, look at that. Wave at me. Give the Lord a shout. You are the one with the menstrual condition. Can you verify if the flow has stopped? Can you verify if the flow has stopped? Yes, sir. It has stopped. Give the Lord a big hand. Daddy, you had a heart condition. It was standing at the camera. How do you feel? Is the palpitation gone? Okay, it's gone completely. Give the Lord a big hand. It is permanent in the name of Jesus. Please don't force them. Just allow them. When the Lord is done with them, they will stand up. Just allow them. Most of you, you've been healed. You raised your hand. I can't take testimonies now. But at the end of the service, you want to write your testimony so that we glorify the Lord that has done this great work. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. I want to share with us tonight, very briefly. I understand we are in the north and we have to close early and go home. I always consider it a great honor to come to the north to share the gospel, because the hunger for God in the north is extraordinary. And you serve the Lord here because you love God, not because of gain. And so every time I have the opportunity to come to the north, it's a great delight for me. Praise God. I want to share with us this evening on a very simple but very important subject that will help us and improve the quality of our existence. I want to talk to us briefly tonight about the map of the supernatural. No one walking in the supernatural stumbled there by coincidence. There is a definite protocol for accessing the supernatural realm. You find a man host a dimension. It's important for you to know that so long as he can replicate that dimension, regardless of the territory where he finds himself, then what he's doing is not a fluke. What he's doing is a reality that he has become a custodian of. And it's important for us to realize tonight that the supernatural is not for a selected few. We were born to walk in the supernatural realm. And if you are by any chance not walking in the supernatural, you are a victim. Because the way the systems are designed, the system has been hijacked. And so it is designed to frustrate your existence. Jesus speaking, he said, in this world, you will have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And Paul was teaching again in Galatians chapter 1 verse 4. And he called this world an evil age. So the world has been compromised. This is not the world God designed. The world God designed, he gave Adam the authority as a quality control agent, insisting that only what God wants finds expression. But Adam handed that authority to another prince. And so there are many entities bringing impute into the world we are living in today. In fact, in John chapter 10 verse 10, Jesus speaking, he said, the devil cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He said, but I am come that you may have life and life to the full. So God is not the only one running the show on the earth realm. There are many other princes in darkness that are manipulating the affairs of this realm. In John chapter 9, Jesus walked into the city by the synagogue, and he saw a man that was born blind. And the disciples began to ask him, who sinned that this man was born blind? Thinking what was wrong with the man was a penalty he was paying for his misdeeds. They felt the things that happen to people are a judgment for their iniquity. And Jesus brought a strange dimension. He said, this man is not guilty of sin. Even if he sinned, what is happening to him is not a product of sin. And he said, not even the sins of his father is the cause for what is happening to him. That means the things that happen to you are not all because you made mistakes. You can be innocent and yet a victim. You are not a victim because you are guilty necessarily. There are those who are victims because they are guilty, but there are many people who are innocent on many fronts. But the devil doesn't care whether you are innocent or not. He has one agenda: to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So in order not to be a victim, every one of us must be prepared to walk the supernatural life. And the supernatural life, even though available to everyone, has requirements for accessing it. If you don't pay the price to accessing the supernatural, you will find the supernatural all around you, yet you will struggle in pains and you will even die having all you need to succeed, yet not being able to access it. Because the supernatural is guarded with mysteries. And until a man pays the price to unlock those mysteries, he will never walk in the supernatural.
And so tonight, I want to give us a map. I'm seeing the demographic of people here. They are young people, they are children, they are old people here. So I'm trying to keep it basic so that everybody will be able to interact, take of the teaching and apply and maximize it. Praise God. And so I want to show you a map that if you follow carefully and conscientiously, you will watch and see how your life turns to a wonder to your generation. Isaiah speaking rightly in Isaiah 18, he said, I and the children that the Lord has given to me, we are for signs and we are for wonders. The Bible speaking in Zacharias, he said, I and the men that sit with me, we are men greatly wondered at. For you to make your mark in your existence and in your generation, you must become a wonder to your world. No casual man, no mediocre makes impact in this kingdom. That you wish it does not mean you have it. Everybody is wishing great and mighty things on a daily basis, but only few are making impact, because impact belongs to those who know the secrets and pay the price to access it. Don't waste your life, brothers and sisters. Everything you see happening on earth is deliberately orchestrated. Nothing happens by chance, including what you call an accident. There is no accident in existence. The seconds, the position, the protocol, the sequence were all deliberately orchestrated. It is the ignorance of men that make them ascribe certain things to be accident. There are no accidents in existence. Everything is deliberately orchestrated. And those who live in the supernatural, things don't happen to them. They make things happen. Yeah. Ha ha ha. If you don't know how to make things happen, others will make things happen to you. And when men make things happen to you, you become a victim on arrival. I learned many years ago that things will never happen to me. I will make things happen. Things will never happen to me. So I went on a search to find out how do people make things happen. Because my Bible made me understand that God is not a respecter of men. God does not favor men. That means anybody can become anything, doing anything. It's all a function of the man, not God. It is no longer God that controls the things that happen. Men control the things that happen. Because God has created a system that anybody that wants to create change can access. The degree to which you access that system is what determines what happens around you. And if you want to walk in the supernatural, there is a protocol. Ah, hey. Yeah, yeah. There are five things I will show us tonight very quickly. And remember, we will keep it basic. I know some of you are very spiritual and you understand things that happen in the heavenlies. But we also have old women here and we have children here. Praise God. When we go for camp meeting, we can talk about immortal realities. But for tonight, let's keep it basic so that everybody can make the most of it. There are five things that makes the supernatural your inheritance. Number one, in order to walk in the supernatural, you must be born of God. You must be born of God. The reason is because life and realms are offsprings of spirits. Life does not originate with mortals. No matter how intelligent you are, you don't have the capacity to be an originator of life. You can conduct life, but the essence of life comes from the realm of the spirit. Even though there is a biological process set in motion for reproduction to take place, life itself comes from above. That's why you find different people doing the same thing. Not everybody have the same result. Have you found barren women before? They carry out all the requirements for reproduction, but you discover that life does not come primarily from reproduction. There are custodians in the spirit that open the gates of life for men to come into life. And God is not the only spirit that defines the essence of life. There is a life that works in light, and there's also a life that functions in darkness. And so for a man to participate in a dimension of life, the spirit that rules that realm must occasion that life in that man. And so there are people today who are born of evil and wickedness, because the life that operates in them comes from darkness. In John chapter 8 verse 44, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and he said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father shall ye do." The word father is the word fundus in the Hebrew, and is the word pater in the Greek. Fundus means the progenitor, one that provokes and procures a reality, and he also sustains it. Pater means a nourisher. So what Jesus was talking about is that the philosophy and the ideology of the Pharisees was bettered, sustained, and nourished by the devil. That means the Pharisees think, act, and do only things that is obtainable in the realms of the demonic. That is why their wisdom is self-centered. Their operations are wicked, because God does not rule their ecosystem. But that is not only the kind of life that exists. There's another kind of life that exists. And the Bible said in John chapter 1 from verse 1 to verse 4, it said, "In the beginning was the Word." It said, "The Word was with God, and the Word was God." It said, "The same was with him in the beginning. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." It said, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So there is another kind of life that comes from God, and that life functions in the crucible of light. So when a man possesses light, the power of that life is activated. The reason you are where you are is because you don't know how to tap into the operational modality of that life. The moment you come into light, that life begins to grow on your inside, because that life is the light of men. If you don't have that light, life, you are already a victim. And this kind of life, you don't possess it by going to a theology school. Because if it is... We are talking about the supernatural. We are not talking about titles. Because in the supernatural realm, a man without a title can be superior to a man with a title. Because that realm is not governed by title. The only title that is respected in that realm is the name of Elohim. Because that name is the opener of that realm. And so... Did you not read Hebrews chapter 11? He said, "Women brought their dead back to life." They didn't even have any class. They didn't have categorization. They didn't have titles. They were ordinary women. Some of them were widows. But he said, they knew how this life worked so much that when their own died, they called them back from Hades. They had power to unlock the gates of Hades. And those who have crossed yonder, they summon them back, because the supernatural is not a product of title. It's a product of the power that the life of God brings. Women brought their dead back to life. That means anybody can become anybody in this realm. But the first way to tap into it is to access that life that is in God. And the way you access that life is not by being born of a woman. Is by being born again. Because your first birth has been corrupted. The moment you come into this world, you came into an evil atmosphere. The world will teach you the ways of darkness. This is why you don't need to train a child to understand immorality. Because even the wind is darkened by the prince of this world. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2, he is called the prince of the power of the air. So long as you breathe this oxygen, evil can come into your soul. The words that men speak, they are not sounds. Jesus said, "The words I speak, they are spirit and they are life." And he went further to tell us in Proverbs, he said, "Life and death is in the power of the tongue." That means, so long as men are talking, life and death is in the atmosphere. And so when a man is born, biologically, death enters him even before he goes to school. This is why children learn how to lie even before they can write their name. Because evil is in the atmosphere. Iniquity is in the atmosphere. So when you want to walk in the order of the supernatural, biological life is not enough. You need to be born again. And Jesus said in John chapter 3 from verse 3 and 8, he said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot perceive the kingdom." Because there's another world in this world. There's another government that superimposes its powers over this government. That's the supernatural realm. And so Jesus said, for you to perceive of the supernatural realm, you must be born again. I know you have been born before, but you must be born again. You were born before biologically, but you are born again by the Spirit. And that is why in verse 8 he said, as the wind bloweth. He said, thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He says, so are they that are born by the Spirit of God. So when you are born into this life, you become like the wind. And when he talks about the wind, he's talking about Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost that existed before time. He said, when you are born again, you become like the Spirit of Elohim. The things that the Holy Ghost does become the things that you do. And that's why John was bold enough to say, in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, he said, whoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, because you have entered another economy. But I said, this life, you don't read it in a book. This life is an organic reality. And so when a man receives this life, four things happen to him. The first thing that happens to him is that the joy of salvation enters his spirit. Suddenly, he discovers the things happening to men that is taking their time no longer affects him. Even when there is no food to eat, he is full of joy. Others can lie in order to get food. He can be hungry and still be giving thanks. And when you look at this man, you say, what is wrong with you? It's not his fault. Life has activated in his spirit. And so he has come into another civilization. And in that civilization, what he feels is superior to hunger in the flesh. This is why when Abraham understood how that life worked, he didn't have a child. For 24 years, he was troubling God. Until God said, come with me. And God took him and showed him the stars of heaven. And God began to educate him about another kind of reality that exists outside time. And the moment Abraham caught it, the Bible said, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He said, he was full of faith, giving thanks to God. How can a 99-year-old man without a child be full of faith? How can he be giving thanks? In fact, the Bible itself said, Abraham was not concerned about his impotence. He said he was not concerned about the deadness of Sarah's womb. That means the problem was still there. But Abraham staggered not at the promises of God. So in this life, you don't begin it by doing something. You begin it by becoming. That's why the first power you receive is not the power to do. It's the power to be. Because you have to be able to do. If you have not been and you start doing, you cannot sustain it. And the way to be is to receive the life. And so when God begins to bring you to the supernatural, sometimes you will pray for the deaf, they will remain deaf. It doesn't mean you are not in the supernatural. You are still being. It's when you are finished being that you will start doing. Because it's a life, it will shape you first. Anxiety is in your soul. Fear is in your soul. Anger is in your soul. God is more interested in you than in what you do. And so when the life comes, the life will educate you first. And the first thing that life does is that it infuses into you the joy of salvation. This is why when the kingdom was about to be taken from the hand of David, he didn't beg for the kingdom. He said, take not from within me. Psalm 51 verse 17, verse 12, the joy of salvation. He said, restore the joy. Because if I am, then I can have. But if I am not, I will never have. This is why God is not called I have or I do. He is called I am. So long as it's I am, he can do. He can have. But if he have and do and it's not am, he will lose everything that he has. And so men who understand how the supernatural work, their first consciousness is the operation of life. And the way that life speaks, it speaks in form of joy. When it migrates from the realm of joy, it becomes a law. The law is what separates you from the world system. And in Romans chapter 8 verse 2, Paul said that, he said, the law of the spirit of life have set me free from the law of sin and death. The reason is because corruption wants to attach itself to you. Failure wants to attach itself to you. And so when this life brings joy, the next thing this life will do is that it will put you under law. And so sometimes you wake up, you want to eat food. It looks as if it's a sin. Not because they announced in church that everybody should fast. The law of the spirit of life is at work. And so long as that law forbids you from eating, you will stay without food until you are released. When you are released, you now eat. It's not a doctrine. You are following a protocol in the spirit. The Holy Ghost is leading you to where the secrets of God dwell. And for you to come there, you must learn how to be temperate in all things. Because if you are not temperate in all things, you cannot be a master. And so when the Holy Ghost wants to teach you to become a master, the law of the Spirit of life will be activated on your inside. Sometimes somebody offends you, you want to give it back to him the way he gave it to you, then the law will hold you back. You will lift your hands, but your hand can't move. Not because you are paralyzed, but because a law is working on your inside. Sometimes somebody offends you, you want to say evil about that person. The word is already coming, but the law of life will hold it. If you need to hold your mouth, you say, What is happening is that you are under a law. What that law is doing is that it's altering your molecular structure. Because that pathway that anger follows, the anointing can't follow. And so for the anointing to flow, they will block the gate of anger. For the power to flow, they will block the gate of iniquity. And so many things you want to do, the life will stop you. When it stops you for a long time, you will now discover that those appetites are dead. When those appetites die, you will now discover that a new appetite will be activated. Because the Bible said the Spirit mortifies the deeds of the flesh. And the way it does it is by instituting the law. There are many people who have been Christian for 25 years, but they have not come to the realm of the law of the Spirit of life. They do what they want to do. They are growing and gaining more titles, but in the spirit, they are still babes. Because they have not obeyed the sequence of the law of life. They have not responded to the law of life. Men clap for them, but in the spirit, they are infants. Because the way you grow is by becoming temperate in all things. That law will bind you for many years. And when it mortifies the deeds of the flesh, then you will discover that it will activate another appetite on your inside. That appetite is what we call hunger for the presence. And so you will wake up in the morning, you want to seek the Lord. You are in your office, you want to seek the Lord. You are in a conversation with someone, you want to seek the Lord. The reason is because a new operation has opened. The spirit of discernment will alight upon you. The reason is because you have to see that realm to know how that realm works. Because this realm has taught you fear. They need to teach you boldness and confidence from that realm. And so after they suspend your propensities, they will now open the realm to you. And so John said, I, John, I am your brother in tribulation. I was in the eye called Patmos for the work of the Lord. And I heard a sound as of a trumpet. And he said, as I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. That was where they taught John the meaning of church. He thought church was a religious organization. Because that was what the Sanhedrin taught them. That was what the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught them. But when Jesus wanted to teach John the meaning of church, he allowed him first to walk through the island of death. And when his propensities were mortified, they brought him to Zion. And Jesus showed him that church is a candlestick. That means when a church is in a territory, the primary operation of the church is to illuminate that territory so that darkness can give way. He taught John that the Pharisees trained you that church is a religious organization. But in heaven, we don't call church a religious organization. In heaven, we call church the light of a society. And so when the church stops beaming light, the organization may continue, but the candle will be removed and kept somewhere. And so when the supernatural is about to be taught you, discernment will be activated. God will show you things. You may be wise in your own ways. And then you come there, they tell you, the way to excel here is to give up. A self-denier that empowers you. Because what they taught you is that, gather everything and save for yourself. But in that realm, they said there is him that scattereth. And yet it's increased. He said the liberal soul shall be made fat. Him that watereth shall by himself be watered unto. Meanwhile, men taught you that it's by hiding and becoming selfish and self-centered that you become big. But in the kingdom, they say it's by scattering. The reason is because when you scatter, your foundation goes beyond the earth. He said, give a portion to seven. Give a portion to eight. For you know not the evil that will come upon the earth. This is why the church cannot fail. If they like, they should do what they want to do. We are not in earth. We are not of earth. We are in the earth, but we are of Zion. Our root is in the spirit. And when a man begins to scatter, even when he doesn't have money, he can rule. Because power is not how much you accommodate. It is who you are in the spirit. There are many people today, they travel to any country of the world. They don't carry a dime in their pocket. They don't carry. I know a man that went to the United States of America. He was not with visa. I'm not telling you fairy tales. He had become too relevant in that realm. He needed to go there for a meeting. And he didn't bilocate. He went to the airport. They chartered a flight for him. He went to the U.S. It doesn't happen. Sir, it's not possible. I've traveled around the world. Even Africa, as corrupt as it is, if you come, you must be identified. He landed at the airport. From the immigration, they started paying obeisance. And he did what he needed to do. He finished and came back. This is not possible. But there is a realm you enter. You begin to function as if you are held in the galaxies. Because an angel doesn't need a bank account to be wealthy. Because when you grow in the life, you become like an angel. That's why when Stephen stood, they looked at him and they said his face was shining. And they called him an angel. Because it's possible for men to grow until they begin to function from the celestial order. The supernatural begins from within. It will first of all stir joy on your spirit. And then it will become a law. That's why you don't need to go to a Bible school to walk in the supernatural. When the law is activated, you will know. You will insult somebody and that law will insist that you go and apologize. And then you will look at the person and say, no, I can't do that. I'm bigger than the person. In that realm, they don't weigh you based on your age or societal status. Even when you come to pray, he will tell you, leave your gift at the altar. Because if you don't respect that law, what you are doing is religion. And you will leave your gift on the altar until you apologize. That joy will not come back. Because that's how we walk in the supernatural. I didn't come here to excite you. I came here to give you spiritual order that will help you become invincible to your generation. Because darkness is coming. The plan of the devil is wicked. You can't be a nominal Christian. The people we are raising in Abuja, we are raising in Abuja. We make sure they pray every week. At least the least of them should pray for like 5 hours. So on Monday, we pray for 3 hours. On Tuesday, before service, we pray 1 hour. On Sunday, we pray 1 hour. We pray round the clock and we do other crazy prayers. But at least the average person should pray 5 hours every week. They didn't know what we were doing. Until one day, a brother was going home and kidnappers jumped at him. And when they wanted to hold him, they couldn't. So they asked him for his phone. Before he gave the phone, they now shot him. When they shot him, the clothes tore. The bullet bounced and fell down. That was when the guy discovered himself. He didn't even know who he was. Because he didn't know what we were introducing him to was beyond an impartation. He was being cooked in another realm. And so his body became resistant to bullets. He didn't quote any scripture, but he had lived in that realm for a long time. Because when you stay there, the atmosphere will rest on you. The Bible said, Moses list not that his face shone. Even when you are not aware, you are becoming. Because as you obey the law of life, the power of the ages to come are invested in your vessel. Now, when life finishes its protocol and bring you to a point where you begin to realize that things are no longer the same with you, then the second requirement is activated. It's called consciousness. Because you cannot master until you begin to build consciousness. I didn't know. When I come for service, sometimes I'm hoping that God should impart people. Sometimes I'm praying for God to impart people. And one day, when God wanted to help me, he took me to the spirit. And when I entered the spirit realm, I discovered what we wear there is not flesh. It was in the spirit realm, I now discovered that there are different clothes, there are different fabrics. In the spirit realm, there are certain angels and certain beings, not just angels. Even the spirit of just men made perfect, some of them wear light. The cloth they wear is light. When John met the man that took him on a tour around heaven in Revelation 19 verse 10, he wanted to worship him because he thought he was an angel. And the man said, no, worship me not. He said, I'm one of your brethren. That's the spirit of just men made perfect. But in that realm, he was clothed with light like an angel. And so when John saw him, John thought he was an angel. He said, no, I'm not an angel. I'm your brother. I'm just wearing my celestial garment. And so when I was carried to the spirit realm, I discovered the clothes I was wearing in the spirit was fire. From that day, my consciousness changed. So I can come to a service from the beginning of the service and start impartation. If I want God to begin to impart people now, I will start now. I don't need to pray. I don't need to ascend. I can stop the keyboard and begin to impart people. The reason is because when I discovered myself, I began to build consciousness. So one thing I did was, I knew that anywhere I enter, I bring fire. You can listen to my message. Even if you don't understand the exegesis, something will happen to your heart. A bandit was hearing somebody play my message. And when he went to sleep, he couldn't sleep. Sleep was withdrawn from him. And he started looking for me from all around the country. Where is this man? And he came for the service and said, please, I'm a bandit. When I saw I'm a bandit, my heart, you are a what? I would have called police immediately, but I didn't have bandits to come here. But this time he didn't come with a gun. He came with his life to surrender. Because fire entered his soul. Fire entered his soul. But for that level of fire to be emitted, there was a consciousness that was built. I don't know him. I've never seen him. I don't have any contact with him. But the fire that contacted him dragged him to submit himself to the altar. And till date, I know he's seeking God. Because when you begin to build consciousness, everything life puts on your inside, you begin to conduct it. Because it's your consciousness that will conduct what you carry. There are many people that carry so much of God, but they don't know how to conduct it. They are conscious of the world, but they want to conduct heaven. It doesn't work like that. The Lord works with your mind. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, he said, God is able to do. That means God is also not able to do. But for God to be able to do, he will do only exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. That means the power of God is limited to your consciousness. If you are thinking fear, no matter how you shout, you will not see the glory of God. Because your consciousness is the first conductor of the dimension of God that you host. This is why the devil doesn't need to send preachers. He sends systems that create consciousness. Buy a biro. The advert you see is a naked woman. They don't need to come and teach you immorality 101. No. If they build the consciousness on your own, you will walk in immorality. Because they know that the power of your spirit is activated in the direction of your consciousness. And so in Psalm 82 verse 6, he said, they know not. Neither will they understand. He said, they walk on in darkness. He said, I have said, ye are gods, because you are the children of the Most High. He said, but they will fall like men and fall like one of the princes. Why? Because they know not. The moment they know, it becomes their experience. Jesus came in John chapter 10 verse 34 and reflected the same scripture. He said, has it not been said unto you that ye are gods and you are the children of the Most High God, unto whom the word of the Lord came and the scripture cannot be broken? That means that was the consciousness Jesus walked with. Jesus never walked with the consciousness of a man. He walked with the consciousness of a God. And allow me to submit to you here today that the moment you receive the life of God and begin to function by the life of God, you cease to become a man. You become a new creature. Paul said, you are a new creature. And the reason you are a new creature is because Christ in you is the hope of glory. He said, whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So when I walked into this service, I know I didn't come alone. I know the Holy Ghost came with me. I know. I don't need fasting to know that. I don't need to pray for 10 hours to know that. I walked into this service with the consciousness that Jesus came. And so sometimes when you see me pause, I'm not tired. I have said something. I'm waiting if he will say something. Because what is happening is partnership. And you will never enjoy that partnership until you know that you are not an ordinary person. And as I go forward, I will show you why we pray in tongues. Most times the reason we pray for hours is because we want to awaken that consciousness. Because sometimes when you walk with men for long, you will start thinking like men. You will start acting like men. But when you have been with men for too long, you also need to be with God. And the way to switch from the frequency of men to the frequency of God, the Bible said we should do what? Rakakato pataka, balakataka. So when I'm praying in tongues, it's not a religious activity. I have lived with men. I also want to come to the invincible side. It's a hymn that prayeth in an unknown tongue. Speaketh not unto men, but unto God. He said, in the natural, he doesn't make sense. How be it in the spirit, he uttereth mysteries. Praying helps to quicken your consciousness. I can begin with an impartation. I can begin by talking to you about faith. But if you don't know these two, your faith will be in vain. The reason most of us are defeated is not because the devil is powerful. It's because our consciousness is wrong. We carry the consciousness of failure. We carry the consciousness of defeat. Why do you think the devil wants to insist for you to know all the people that failed in your bloodline? He's trying to tell you, don't waste your time. Your grandfather struggled more than you. Your father struggled more than you. You will still fail. But I tell myself, no, there is such a thing called grace. He said, the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He outran the chariots of Ahab. I don't know if the hand of the Lord was on my grandfather. I don't know if the hand of the Lord was on my father. But me, I know I'm not an ordinary person. I know that I carry the DNA of God, and the Spirit of God rests upon me mightily. He is walking with me. That was Jesus' consciousness. In Acts 10:38, he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? He said, because God was with him. So the key for the supernatural is the consciousness of the fact that you are not alone. God is with you. In John chapter 16 verse 14, he said, the Holy Ghost shall be in you and with you forever. Forever. Everywhere. The Holy Ghost is with you in your victories, and the Holy Ghost is also with you in your failures. The reason you are in your failures is because you didn't mobilize the power of the Holy Ghost. If you know, your path will become the path of the just man that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. This has nothing to do with theology. It has everything to do with spiritual understanding that you are not alone, that God is with you. And if God was with Jesus and Jesus did wonders, God is also with you. You too will do wonders. These are the foundations of the supernatural. Most times we look at ourselves so much and we become too conscious of ourselves, and we become unconscious of the God that is on our side. The psalmist said, test and see that the Lord is good. Peter said, I put you in remembrance that I may stir up the grace of God that is in you. That means every time you build this consciousness, you are stirred. You are not ordinary. You are a supernatural entity. The world is waiting to see you shine. The problem is that your consciousness is fear. Your consciousness is failure. And it took the devil a long time to train you to become like this. But the reason we preach the gospel is to change your consciousness. Somebody will walk out of this conference and tell himself, because God is with me, I'm a superman. Hallelujah! Hey! Hallelujah! Hey! When I started preaching the gospel, they told me, for you to make a global impact, at least you must be a fifth descendant preacher. When I checked, even my own father, I led him to Christ. That means, as far as ministry is concerned, I have no hope. But when I went back to the scripture, I discovered my DNA and my lineage began from the cross. I discovered I did not just have a natural family. I also have a spiritual family. Because Paul said something. He said, according as it is written, they believe and have spoken. We, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. That means I belong to the faith lineage. And so I was no longer judging myself based on my biological lineage. When I looked at myself, I knew that I belonged to the descendant of Paul. I knew that I belonged to the descendant of Enoch. And so there was a rich spiritual heritage waiting for me. And so when I walked out, I didn't walk out with a local or mediocre mentality. I told my friends over 10 years ago, I said, we will shake this world. I told them nations will come looking for us. And today is not a prayer point. We travel around the world as if we are going to our backyard. Sometimes flight details become a challenge. I came in from England 2 days ago. I'm going to Milan next tomorrow. As I return from Milan, I'm going to Zimbabwe. It's not about the nations. It's about the impact of the kingdom spreading across the world. Not because there's anything special about you, but because you built the consciousness. As you were building that consciousness, you were incubating. That's how God works. The Bible said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said the earth was void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And he said the Spirit of God hovered. The world was dark, but God refused to see the darkness. All God was seeing was light. And when he finished betting light, he now said, light appear. Light appeared. If it was God that wrote Genesis 1, you would not have seen darkness. The reason you know there was darkness in Genesis 1 is because Moses was the one writing. The only thing God said was light. He never mentioned darkness. Because even though the darkness is there, his consciousness was light. And as he focused on light, after a while, the light came. And Paul told us, God that called forth the light out of the darkness. What you see is what you become. Your consciousness is your reality. Somebody will need to wake up and tell myself, I come from Taraba State. I don't have the best of education. I don't have anybody to help me. But because my Redeemer liveth, I will see tomorrow. Because he lives, I will see tomorrow. This sickness is not my end. If he healed one before, he will heal me also. Because God is not a respecter of person. Oh, you don't know how we become. You want to walk in the supernatural? You must build a new consciousness. Paul said, our light affliction are but for a moment. Do you know what Paul called light affliction? He was flogged with 39 strokes. He was thrown into prison. He was forgotten under the deep. He said, a day and a half, I was in the deep. The worst situations on earth that will happen to you, and you will now lie down and say, God, where are you? Why are these things happening to me? Lord, why? And you will be seeking people to say, sorry, sorry. Paul doesn't demand pity from anybody. He doesn't demand sorry from anybody. While he was going through those afflictions, he called it a light affliction. And for no matter how long they were, he called it a moment. He said, our light affliction are but for a moment. Did you read about David? The men David labored upon that became mighty men, they rejected him, stoned him at a time when the resources of Israel and the women were taken. When David needed his men to stand around him, they despised him. David didn't stand up going about saying, don't mind all those men. They are not honorable men. The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. There was a consciousness the man had, because he knows that he doesn't need an army to win a battle. He has stood up before as one man, confronted Goliath, brought him down, and the whole prince of Gath ran back. He knows that with a stone, you can win a battle. And so if the men like, they should despise him. They should leave him. They should betray him. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And the Bible said he went to the Urim and the Thummim. And when the Lord spoke to him, he stood up. And when he moved, everybody that once rejected him aligned themselves with him. Consciousness is the foundational key for the supernatural. I'm telling you why we labor. We do impartations. People cannot receive the supernatural. Some, even when they are healed, because they have the wrong consciousness, they lose their healing. And then they come back on the internet and say, all these healing preachers are fake people. They are fake people. They excited me. I felt like something happened. Did you not read that when an evil spirit is gone out of a man, it goes about in dry places? If it doesn't find where to stay, it returns to where it was driven from. Matthew 12, 43 and 44. And he said, if that place is empty, he said he will return with 7 more wicked demons. When you don't incubate and build the consciousness of what you are looking for, you are a victim on arrival. The supernatural is a protocol, and this is the map. You begin from life into consciousness. And when you build consciousness, then there's a commandment for you to believe. Because only by faith can you command the supernatural. The supernatural does not respond to intelligence. The supernatural does not respond to popular opinion. The supernatural responds only to faith. And the faith is your faith, not your pastor's faith, not your general overseer's faith, not your bishop's faith. If you want to see the supernatural, you must have the faith of God. Jesus was speaking in John 11:40. He said, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. That means the supernatural is at the mercy of your faith. The day your faith comes alive, that day you begin to walk in the supernatural. If you don't build your faith, you will never see the supernatural. It is the supernatural, it is faith that controls the supernatural. It's like a button. The way you can on and off this light at will, that's how faith regulates the supernatural. When you find a man of faith, you have found a man of the supernatural. In fact, you can substitute the word supernatural for faith. Both of them work hand in hand. Anywhere faith is at work, the supernatural is at work. Anywhere faith is withdrawn, the supernatural is withdrawn. Find the scripture. It is replete all through the scripture. The Bible said in Mark chapter 11 verse 22, it said, when you come before a mountain, don't look up to God. It said, look unto your faith. The reason is because the power to remove the mountain has already been given to you. So you can call on God from morning till night. Nothing will happen. This is why people who call on the name of the Lord and accuse him and say all kinds of things don't see the result. The problem is not with God. He has settled the issue of the mountain 2,000 years ago in Christ Jesus. The problem has to do with your faith. And so he said, when you confront a mountain, he said, don't talk to me. He said, say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast away. If you do not doubt in your heart, he said, you shall have whatsoever you say. And he said, when thou prayest, he said, believe in your heart. And if you do not doubt, you will have whatsoever you say. That means the ability to possess whatsoever is a product of the kind of faith that you are walking in. The reason many people are defeated in life is because they don't have faith. And the problem is not necessarily a problem of faith. The problem is a problem of what they hear. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You sit down, listen to gossip for 3 hours, participate in the gossip, and then you stand up, you go and kneel down religiously, and you begin to make declaration. Nothing will happen. Because the gossip you hear is the gossip you will produce. If you want to see mountains move, you must receive faith-filled words to be able to command faith-filled reality. They go and stand and malign people. They criticize people. They gossip people. They do every evil machination, carry out every evil act, and then they show up. They want to command the supernatural. That is called religion. And no matter how pious you do it, does not mean it will work like that. You know, many people think Jesus was a sanctimonious person. That's why they think when you become pious and sanctimonious, you are supernatural. That appearance of a lamb, they will bundle you like that and destroy you. There were times when Jesus was pious, and there were times when Jesus was wild. Because it's not just a lamb, it's also the lion of the tribe of Judah. But the way you walk it is by constantly building your faith. And the way you build your faith is to hear only what energizes your faith. Somebody's on Facebook for 4 hours. He's not listening to a message. When he finished reading the football news, he enters the political news. When he finished reading the political news, he enters pictures, status, and then he watches status for 2 hours. Sometimes he watches it until he starts feeling hectic. When the headache begins to affect him, he drops it, he eats something, and the next thing he comes back and sits on a movie. When he finishes with the movie, he has spent 7 hours, and then he stands up. And because he wants to go to church, he says, Kobe tukukakua, bulakua, zedewu deku, deku, deku. Nowadays, of young apostles, you will now see strange things. As he wants to pray, he will do like this, put his hand here, do like this. When you finish, you will sweat. That's the only result you will get from that prayer. When you finish sweating, go and meet a demon. You will know that what you were doing was a drama. It's praying mountains. You are in the school of praying mountains. If it is the supernatural you are looking for, faith must come alive in your spirit. And you don't do what you see somebody doing. Somebody can be praying and doing like this. That thing happening to him, he picked it from Zion. You will now look at him doing like this. You too start praying like this. When you pray like this for 5 hours, you will go and see somebody with cancer. Or you will see a demon. When you stand like a lion and command that demon, the demon will act as if he's afraid. then it will come near you. When it comes close enough, it will slap you. When they were training us to pray, those who pray have postures. Meanwhile, what we didn't know was that those postures, they were the way God dealt with them. He dealt with them until they became like rocks. They were formed into those postures. So even after the school of process was completed, those postures became their natural posture. And so some are praying, they are walking like this. The reason is because they fought for many years in prayer. And so they became like warriors. So they walk like that. We too, when we started, when we wanted to pray, we will stand first. Then we will start walking. The manifestation told us that we were in different realities. You find people praying, they are doing like this. When you finish dancing, come back to reality. No faith in their spirit, because they heard and saw only defeat. And they think by acting in an emotional way. Don't worry. When you become 50 years old, your adrenaline level will go down. You will now discover that the supernatural is not emotional. It's authority in the spirit. And the way you wield that authority is by building your faith. And so day and night, you eat the word. You see the word. You hear the word. Until it becomes impossible for you to think anything outside of the word. That's when, even when you are joking, the supernatural will happen. When you are serious, the supernatural will happen. The supernatural no longer becomes a function of your emotion. It becomes a reality that you command. Many are walking at the frequency of emotion because faith has not come alive. If there's no faith in your spirit, there will be no supernatural. The supernatural is an offspring of faith. Number four, remember, I'm giving you a map. You have to make sure your salvation is intact. You have to make sure that your consciousness is correct. And you have to make sure that faith is alive in your spirit. What is the time? We're out of time. Meanwhile, I wanted to fly when I come to the fifth point. There is something God gave me to give to you in this service. That's why I came. One of the things that God has given me by mercy are mantles of many warriors. They are mantles of many warriors. I needed to teach so that somebody will have something to work with. The conference begins today. It will not be wise to come and just begin manifestation. At least set the coordinates. That's why I took time to teach. But I came with mantles. And in another 10 minutes, they will begin to fall here. The Bible says, freely you have received. It says, freely give. The things that happen to us and happen with us don't happen because we are wise. They happen because we have received certain things by mercy. Mercy. And he said, freely you have received. It says, freely give. Let me just mention the last two. I will not talk about it because of time. The fourth protocol in the map is to act your faith through obedience. No matter how full of faith you are, if you don't act it, you will never see the supernatural. The supernatural only responds to actors. That's why the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Apostles. It's not called the knowings of the apostles. They are the things they acted. If you don't put your faith to work, you will never see the supernatural. In Mark 16 verse 20, it said they went out. They didn't sit in their room praying and quoting scriptures. It said they went out. And it said the Lord walking with them confirming the world with signs and wonders following. That means if you don't act, you will never possess. The people who raised the dead, they didn't raise the dead because they were born so. They raised the dead because they commanded the dead to come to life. If you don't command the dead, if you don't pray for the dead, no matter how anointed you are, you will never raise the dead. Those who raise cripples, don't raise cripples because they were born with raising of cripples dimension. They raise cripples because they prayed for cripples. And as they prayed for a long time, cripples began to rise. In Acts chapter 14 verse 3, it's a long time, a bold day, speaking boldly in the Lord. The Lord confirming the words of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. You want to see the supernatural? You must act. And let me give you a warning before you start. Most times, the first 20 attempts will end in failure. But the reason you will not stop is because you know that this thing is here. I may not be seeing it now, but I will see it. There used to be a time when I go for service. I would say, God is touching one person. I reduce the number to the barest minimum. So that by all means, even if the anointing doesn't touch the person, anybody that the usher pushes. And I will shout, now, fire, fire. I'm feeling the fire on my inside. But nobody falls. When I hear one plastic chair, maybe somebody move back. And there's a sound of plastic chair. I say, that's right. That's right. They will now say, sorry. It's plastic chair. Nobody is falling. I've gone for meetings before where I prayed for cripples. On record, when I finish praying, the person becomes more crippled. I will drag the person up. Walk now. Some I will try to push. There will be no life. When I sweat for a while, I will now tell them, ah, this thing is not one day. May the Lord honor your faith. Please don't give up. If you are proud, you will do one, two, three, and you will stop. What you have done is that you have buried your manifestation. The reason is because when it happens, I won't take the glory. So when it doesn't happen, I won't take the shame. I'm not the one doing it. God is the one doing it. I'm only a conductor. And I've not mastered conduction yet. Many are too afraid to act the supernatural. Did you not read Matthew 10? When the disciples went out, they didn't know it would happen. So when it happened, they came back jubilating that demons were subject to our commands. That means they were shocked. They were shocked that demons obeyed them. They came back, they couldn't contain their joy. They told Jesus, can you imagine? The same way demons obey you, they were obeying us. And when Jesus prayed, hear the strange prayer Jesus prayed. Jesus didn't say, it's because you have stature. He said, I thank you, Father, because you have hid this from the prudent and you have revealed it to babes. That means the supernatural is not for men of stature. The supernatural is for babes. And that babe is a faith, a childlike faith. If you don't have a childlike faith that doesn't fear embarrassment, if you don't have a childlike faith that doesn't fear failure, you will never see the supernatural. Forget that we wear suit. Suit is to bring order and excellence to the ministry. It's not suit that raises cripples. It is the childlikeness of faith. Anything he prompts us, we do. If God tells me now, take this handkerchief and give it to a blind man to rub on his eyes, I will do it, and I will do it publicly. If it doesn't happen, I'm not ashamed. And if it happens, I won't take the glory. I will just obey as he has commanded. And by the mercy of God, we have seen the supernatural from one continent to another continent. Even places where they don't hear English language. I returned from Pakistan 2 months ago. We saw crazy things happening. Old women, ears popped open. Blind eyes open of many years. People stood up who couldn't walk just because we dared to believe. Imagine you go to Pakistan and then God doesn't show up. The flight fare is around 3.2 million. Although I paid for it. Because I know they are in a war zone. You can't go there and expect an honorarium. Imagine, when they met me at the police station, at the airport and they saw my passport, that it was Nigeria. They put me aside. All the security people gathered, the narcotic agent, everybody, they almost tore my bag. When they finished searching me like a criminal, they took me to another room for interrogation. They verified my visa if it was original. When the immigration finished verifying, they were now checking. They now saw that my passport had clergy. You are a preacher? What did you come here for? It was a full-blown interrogation. You are Nigerian? If you are a Nigerian and you are traveling in these nations, you are a suspect on arrival. And then you go to a nation that is 97% Islamic and you carry a passport that says you are clergy, not businessman. I said, I'm a philanthropist, because the Bible called Jesus a philanthropist. They said, what do you do? I said, I bring good news and I support the needy. They went and checked my profile and discovered that we had few videos where we were giving food to the needy. Even at that, they didn't want to let me go. They had to send a Christian officer for me to be released. Meanwhile, people from South Africa, they come, they enter. But I came from Nigeria and I was a clergy. Now imagine, all through my stay, police officers were walking with guns. Even when I went to give to the poor, somebody stood with a gun. When I'm preaching on the stage, they stand at different ends with guns. All our meetings were for one day. If you come back the next day, anything you meet, that's your problem. Because when we gather, the Muslims don't know what we came to do until you say, Jesus is Lord. But before they know what is happening, we escape. We go to another location. Now, imagine you come there and you don't see the hand of God. So when I say acting your faith, sometimes there will be risk. Notwithstanding, you will still act your faith. Sometimes there will be embarrassment. Notwithstanding, you still act your faith, because you are insisting for the door to open. Because if the door doesn't open, you are a victim. So it's better to take the risk and step into the supernatural than to remain without taking the risk and be a victim. It takes acting of faith to see the supernatural. I know you prayed for yourself, you were not healed. When you finish taking the drug, next time pray again. I've applied strange systems. The other time I was sick, I prayed for hours, I was not healed. I meditated on scripture, I was not healed. I now remember the story of a woman that inserted the Bible in water and drank. I took my Bible, I dipped it in water, I drank, I still was not healed. When it was not working, I took paracetamol. But I didn't stop there. I kept pushing. Because sometimes there will be discouragement. You will still act your faith. So whether there is embarrassment, whether there is discouragement, whether there is risk, you will keep acting your faith. Because the last one you acted may be the last one to your manifestation. This is why you can't stop. Because the thickest darkness is at twilight. And it may just remain one more for you to see the power. That's why I said we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. We only go forward. Because before them is the garden of the Lord. Behind them is a desolate wilderness. You want to see the supernatural? You must act your faith. And this is not for preachers. Daniel was a politician, but he walked in the supernatural. Joseph was an economist and a politician. He walked in the supernatural. Nehemiah was a steward in the king's court. He walked in the supernatural. It has nothing to do with whether you are an apostle, a prophet, or a reverend. It has everything to do with the reality of God that is available to them that believe. And finally, to walk in the supernatural, you must constantly service your faith. I will talk about that tomorrow morning. Since we don't have the opportunity to press, I will leave this one, because if this gate opens here and the power of God begins to move, we'll be here for another 1 hour. You want to walk in the supernatural, you must service your faith. For those of you who walk in the supernatural, you know, you can pray for a deaf ear yesterday, it opened. When you come back today, it looks as if you are doing it for the first time. You will never become a master. You will only remain yielded. Because every day you see the challenge is a fresh mountain. It will take a fresh operation of grace to deal with that mountain. And so those who walk in the supernatural, they didn't pray a long time ago. They pray every day. They don't meditate on the scripture 2 years ago. They meditate every day. They don't fast 5 years ago. They fast every day. Because it takes continuous and continuous servicing of your faith to walk in the supernatural. Because to walk in the supernatural, you must remain yielded. Tonight, I've given you a map. Many ministers are coming with different dimensions of grace. Some may come and prophesy from beginning to the end. Some may move in the power of God from the beginning to the end. Some may minister healing from the beginning to the end. And many will be impacted. But by all means, these words you have received, take them with you. And make them your daily practice. So that you don't only receive what God gives, you also become a partner with God in bringing deliverance unto Jacob. Because the supernatural is not a heritage for apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. The supernatural is a heritage for every believer. You want to lift your hands now and receive something. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, pray now. Tonight, he was going to activate graces in the lives of people and release mantles. One of the things that God has given me and some of the angels that work with me, they are the seraphims. They set men on fire. That's the angel that provokes revival. When they walk into a city, they stir the graces of God in the hearts of men and set men aflame for God. Those were the angels that touched Isaiah. And he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I don't want it to be highly emotional. But this is the word of the Lord. For many of you here tonight, you will receive mantles to stir revival. There are three impartations I will do now. And trying to manage time so that we keep it calm. And ushers, you will help me bring these people. Before I release a prophetic word generally, I need to touch them. Because there's a transference of inheritance. There are seven of you here that the hand of God will come upon in order to set men on fire. And as this operation begins, even the doors of nations, doors of territories, doors of cities will open to you. Because you can't be in one location anymore. The protocol of fire itself defies it. Wherever they are, Holy Ghost, you sent me to give them mantles. You sent me to activate graces. Now, touch! Hallelujah!
Please put them by your side. Let's honor the minister.
The number 7 in the spirit, that's what I see. Wherever they are, inside, outside, take that mantle.
By this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.